Today, we have on the inventor of Bop It. That's right, the inventor of Bop It, Dan Klitzner. He talks about what it was like creating Bop It, how he blew up on TikTok, how he created his digital brand, and he gave us a little preview of his newest toy.
The Broke Agent presents OverAsk Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of OverAsk. Today, we have the inventor of Bop It, Dan Klitzner, on the program. Dan, this is a special episode for, I think, everyone listening, but me. Bop It was my favorite game growing up, is my favorite game still. Sorry. Dan, thanks so much for being on.
Wait a minute, what podcast is this?
This is OverAsk.
I'm just kidding.
The number one real estate podcast in the world, Dan.
Yes.
Never mind. I thought I was somewhere else, but what should we talk about? Bop It in real estate?
Yeah, we're going to talk about why every agent needs a Bop It. But no, what we want to get into right away is we just need to know, Dan. You need to tell the people. How, walk us through it. How does Dan, in the late 90s, think and invent Bop It?
Well, that is something that every real estate agent will relate to. I'm not sure why, but we'll figure that out before the story is done. But here is how it happened. I have some props to help tell this story. So I was, if you want to look up a really great video of me as a young man, you will see, if you look up Dan Klitzner Bop It invention video, something like that, you might see it. But you'll see kind of the Bop It looked different than what it does today when I first invented it. And how I got there is that I was studying to be an industrial designer, graduated, went out and thought I was going to design the next best blender, toaster, toilet bowl cleaner, you know, things, very exciting things. And I was doing that. In fact, I was also designing remote controls. And one of the ideas I had, it was for Memorex. So I had a lot of different clients. I had some toy design clients at the same time. So as a freelance industrial designer, I had some projects and I was trying to come up with my own ideas as well for toys. But while I was working on this job as a freelancer for Memorex, I was working on universal remotes that could, it was at that time that they came out with remotes. You didn't have to buy the remote with the TV. You could buy a remote that was universal and make it work on any TV. And I was designing those for them. In fact, I have one around. Yeah, I'll show it to you later. But that remote I designed. And while I was doing it, I thought, you know, what would be cool? Because I was also working on toys. I said, what about a remote just for kids? That would be kind of funny. Like, what would look good on a table that wasn't really a just a remote sitting there? As long as you're going to put it on your table, shouldn't it be something else? So I came up with ideas like these. This is an old Polaroid, actually, of these ideas, if you can see it. It's an actual Polaroid, not a digital thing. And this is a Polaroid.
NFT, what is that?
Yeah, can you zoom in on that?
This is there.
Yeah.
That zoomed in close enough?
Yeah, it's good. That's good.
Yeah, that is a channel surfer, a football shaped remote, like the couch potato. I don't know, a skeleton where you know, like the buttons were kind of like creative. They weren't just buttons. I always like to do something more. And the pizza was my favorite because it was like putting a slice of pizza on your coffee table, but it was actually a remote control. I thought it was funny. And this idea I thought was really cool. And one of the concepts was a remote control that, again, this idea of something different was this hammer. And this idea was a hammer that you would bop on the table to change channels, channel up, you know, turn it around, channel down, volume on, off, volume this way, on, off by pulling it. So it was the idea of making this really physical remote control so you could be more active when you watch TV.
Dan, could you imagine watching a football game, getting pissed off, and then taking that remote and just slamming it on the table as hard as possible?
Exactly. That's what I thought. I thought this is the best thing I've ever come up with. This is this great way to make a remote control. Also, it's not, you know, it just sits there and does nothing while you're watching TV. Let's make it into something fun. So it was sort of this idea of combining a remote, a TV remote with a toy. And exactly, you bang it on the thing to change the channel because you're pissed off. Then you change your mind, you bang it the other way and it changes it back. And so this was the channel bopper, and the channel bopper I pitched to about 7 or 8 companies and nobody liked it. They thought it was too strange. In fact, the remote control did get made. I don't have pictures of it here, but all of these remotes that I did was a line called Remotes Out of Control, and they made everything but the hammer. So fast forward a year or so later, and I was doing some other work for other toy companies, and someone said, a company called Tiger, can you come up with another idea for a handheld electronic game for our LCD games, the ones that had screens in them where people just use their thumbs, you know, like you had the little pixely images of
like a Tamagotchi bed or something.
Yeah, like a Tamagotchi, something that you were just trying to, but that's it. And I still was on this kick of how do you, similar to a TV remote, how do you interact with a product differently that was not just with your thumbs? So I thought again, well, maybe that channel bopper could actually be an LCD game. And I actually tried to put a screen into this thing and thought about games where you banged it on the table and stuff, but it was kind of hard to see the screen and bang at the same time. And that, you know, long story short, or it's already a long story, but I'll make it shorter. It turned it into I sort of eventually got to the idea of doing something like Simon, the game where you had lights and memory. And I put lights in this and thought it was kind of neat to bang this thing and follow the lights, but it was still kind of too hard. So then I thought about, well, what if it was just memory, not memory, sorry. What if it was just audio commands that told you what to do? No light, and the lights were kind of expensive. So it was this whole process of coming back to this idea I liked about this game shaped like a hammer until I, at one point, tried to do this thing with audio commands, and I kept shortening it. Like, is it 4 commands in a row? Is it 3 commands in a row? And when I reached the point, I said, what if it just one command? What if it just told you to bop it, and then it told you to twist it, and then it told you to pull it? Would you ever get it wrong? And I think that's the biggest epiphany, or maybe the biggest lesson here, is you have to try things. Because if you just told someone that, they'd say, that's stupid. No one will ever get it wrong. Tell someone to do something and they'll do it. I mean, we all know that with our kids, right? You tell them to do it and they immediately do exactly what you say. So why should a toy be any different? And so the idea was...
You don't have kids, but I assume you're joking there.
If you have kids... right. Oh, no, my kids, of course, never...
They listen to everything.
Oh, no. As you notice, yeah, I'm yes, I'm being sarcastic, but the idea that you can tell, you say one thing at a time, people don't usually think that you'll get it wrong. But when I tested it, it was hard because you had 3 different dimensions. You had to bop, twist, pull. It's like X, Y, Z. So that was the surprise of testing it. And when I pitched it, luckily I pitched it again to a bunch of companies, and the one company that took it was Parker Brothers, which was the perfect company to take it. So it was the right idea at the right time with the right person at the right company. And I have this whole concept of, if you want to sell any idea, everything has to be right, which I think relates to literally any profession. In this case, RITE, I call it right, was the relationship was right because I knew Parker Brothers from other projects. The idea was right. It was something they were looking for, a new idea for a toy. The timing was right, and the execution was mostly right, meaning this 3-dimensional thing that they hadn't seen. So that was sort of how I discovered how to kind of really keep working on an idea even when it failed several times, if you had a hunch that it was just the timing or the person. You know, there's a lot of reasons why people fail on ideas, and so this one was sort of a lesson in that. So after that, I'll cut it off and let you ask more questions, but it went into Parker Brothers through working with them and very talented designers within their team, you know, back and forth until it evolved and became, you know, this is a miniature version, but this version of Bop It, which you can kind of see the similarity, right? It's almost the same kind of colors. Look, the twist knob is yellow. The bop is purple. The pull knob, you know, is on the bottom. So it's so interesting to me that this is almost like this is a hammer turned front ways.
There it goes.
You know,
I must say, Dan, the hammer, it has a little phallic symbolism there. Did anyone ever say that to you? Like, that might look like a penis and that might not be the best way to configure it.
You know, I'll tell you, it's only about a million people have made that comment, which isn't very many.
Very original, Eric.
I actually, what's really funny is it took TikTok to let me see it in those eyes, because I never thought of it that way whatsoever until I did this thing on TikTok, showed it, and it went viral, not because they liked my story, but because everyone said, is he holding up, you know, whatever it was. Yeah. It just shows you, if you want to go viral, don't just know what people really want.
Exactly.
So, okay.
So yes, I now can't look at it any other way. It's ruined it for me.
So you seem like you were kind of inventing a lot of things at that time. Did you know this was a hit right away, or was it just another, okay, I'm going to pitch this one now and see what happens?
It was one of eight things I was pitching that day to Parker Brothers. I liked it, but it could have just been like any of the things that eventually ended up in my closet. I have thousands of things that haven't sold. I've licensed about maybe close to 300 ideas to toy companies over the years, and this is one of 300 that it's not the best selling game I've ever done. It surprises people to know there's actually something I've sold that's sold more than Bop It. But it's definitely the one that is the most popular and I'm most known for. So I didn't know it at the time, but I think once I saw it come out and the execution that Parker Brothers did and the way the music worked and played with it, I was very excited. It just really came out the way I hoped it would. And the sales started to go very quickly with no TV at all. It was, people would just see it in the store and buy it without even knowing what it was, because it was so unusual. And then word of mouth spread. And what happened was they quickly said, what do we do next? And a lot of people I know listening to this probably might not have even had that Bop It. They probably had Bop It Extreme, which if you look back there, it's like the one with all the arms and, you know, with five things on it. So I immediately started working on, these are old sketches of Mega Bop It, which was the next one.
What are those commands on Mega Bop It? Because Bop It Extreme added flick it, and then what was the other one? What was the fifth command?
Spin it. Spin it. This one had, interesting. There was a pull it. There's a trigger here. It was not a pull it, but squeeze it. So you could squeeze a trigger. It had, then it changed to this squeeze it, like a squeeze it knob. I like the idea of squeeze it being a command. But it pretty much had those same ones that you saw on Extreme. We went through a lot. There's a lot of sketches of other commands. And it isn't like you can do anything with it if you want it to be a good game. It's that you really have to think of everything. All the commands have to be very unique from each other. They have to look different, and they have to feel different, and they have to be different motions. You know, if it's the same motion, but a lot of people think, oh, I came up with an idea for a Bop It, and they start naming things. And I'm like, well, they all are kind of basically the same thing.
They're like Slap It. You're like, that's the exact same thing as Bop It.
Right. Slap It is a Bop It. Exactly. So that's sort of one of the issues there. Do you hear that noise outside? Sorry.
No, you're good. Dan, a lot of people listening to this podcast are probably wondering, like, why are you even on a real estate marketing podcast? So I kind of want to get into our relationship, how we know each other, and, you know, why you're here, basically. So to just set the table, Dan and I have a mutual friend that put us in contact, and Dan wanted to kind of create a digital online persona for the Boptopus and also for yourself. So talk about that a little bit. What was the Boptopus, why you reached out, and then, you know, what your digital brand has become? Because right now, for those people listening at home, he has almost 500,000 followers on TikTok, massive audience, and has gone viral, you know, 20, 30 plus times with hits of millions and millions of views.
Yeah, that's right. We had a mutual friend who was whose dad is one of my friends in the toy industry, and he had the idea. Sam had the idea that he had a friend, meaning you, that, you know, he said you should be doing more with Bop It. And I had already talked to him, I think, about starting to come up with ideas for Bop It's 25th birthday, which is this year, and this is a couple years ago. And so he introduced us, and yeah, the idea was I probably not only was I not on social media, I don't think I really even answered emails. It's very, very low, you know, and I didn't really know what Instagram was or TikTok. I was afraid of them. I often spent my career avoiding any publicity because I didn't want 1,000 people to say that they pitch me on their ideas, because that's not what I do. I create my own ideas, pitch them. I don't have time to kind of represent other people. So I was trying to specifically not be in social media. But when I realized that I wanted to do something for the 25th birthday and I wanted to create a product on my own instead of licensing it. See, the way I work is I license an idea to a toy company and I get royalties on that. I don't make my own toys. So I decided for the first time in 25 years, I want to make something. So I need a direct connection to consumers. I need to connect with the people that actually play the Bop It. How do I reach them and market to them specifically? So when Sam introduced us, you know, and I saw that you had done The Broke Agent and how clever you were with, am I going to make his head big if I say things like this, Matt?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, but go nice on. He likes it. No, it's okay. He likes it. Yeah.
Okay. I'm a little worried. Anyway, I actually liked his sense of humor, what he was doing, the way he was using memes and things that I didn't know what a meme was. So I'm saying this now, but at the time I'm like, what is a meme? And he had them. So I said, I see what a meme is. And so I literally tried to explain how completely green I was, because I know that's part of the thing is I was as novice as you could be. And he and I worked together on, you know, well, what would we do to sort of start taking Bop It fans and attracting them to the idea that the inventor is somehow on social media trying to connect directly with people. And with the purpose eventually of doing something like a Kickstarter to sell my product directly rather than trying to go through a toy company. And so that's how we started.
And originally, it was really hard to kind of come up with, like, what do you want the digital presence of Bop It to be? And I remember at the beginning, we were kind of doing this compilation of 90s nostalgia posts and memes of the Bop It giving different kind of dark, humorous commands, all, you know, with the intent of eventually promoting this Boptibus that would command you to do 8 different things. But it was until you started putting your face on social media and TikTok where that connection was immediately made with fans, where you actually started showing yourself. And, you know, talk about that a little bit, because you had no experience on video. You had no experience on Instagram Reels or TikTok. And you started going viral, getting hundreds of thousands, millions of views, you know, instantly, basically, you know, within a month and a half of doing this. So what was that process like for you to start using these apps?
That's really, you know, in a way I had forgotten that we had started. And I'm pretty good at Photoshop. You know, I'm an artist and designer. So I said to you, oh, don't worry, I can Photoshop Bop It into all these things. We have Arnold Schwarzenegger holding a Bop It saying something. And we have, you know, they were cute. It was fun to do. Or Tiger King was out. So we were saying, I remember you saying, enough with the Tiger King.
You kept hammering that for months afterwards. I was like, no, this thing has a very short lifespan. No more Tiger King. You were superimposing Bop Its on tigers for months.
Yeah. I was just like, look, isn't this good? He's got it in his mouth. It's so funny. And you're like, eh. So that was, you're right. I just sort of tried things. And at first Instagram was a little bit more receptive to some of those, or if I could come up with something, so I got a feel by trial and error and by your guidance. I was trying to take a lot of the humor that Eric was doing with, you know, what it feels like when you miss a sale or whatever those things were, and trying to relate it to what it feels like when you don't sell your toy to the right company. So I could see a direct correlation between real estate and toy invention. Like, I'm pitching toy ideas and you're pitching properties. So I really liked, I said, there must be something here. The difference is what was really interesting there is that you have a community with real estate agents that all speak the same language and have the same rapport and understand when something fails. They commiserate with each other. I have that with Toy Inventors, but Toy Inventors, there's about five of us versus there's, you know, like millions of real estate agents.
There wasn't a big online community of Toy Inventors. And we kind of discovered that also just like searching hashtag Toy Inventor or like trying to find Facebook groups or other TikTokers, which there are now of Toy Inventors. But that route was not successful for us of, you know, doing that exact thing. So when did it start to become successful?
So it did when, like you said, so I started to tell stories about my inventions or what failed. You know, interestingly enough, most things happened when I would do that. The one thing that I remember, the first thing we did was simply the Pittman. There was a thing called the Bop-It Challenge that was going on. So to be
organically,
fair,
completely not started by you.
Well, I actually believe it's unclear how it started.
Okay.
Because I did do, remember, I did a Bop-It with my son's dog where I took the soundtrack of Bop-It and bopped his, I was twisting and bopping. And it was sort of around the same time, although it wasn't the same soundtrack, that someone on TikTok started to do that. And they did it with people where they were, and the Pittman sisters, this group that was popular on TikTok, sort of did it with each other and they're real cute and they jumped around. And so I did a duet with, I just simply did a duet, which I didn't know what a duet was at the time as well. And I think, you know, Sam maybe told me. And so I did a duet and the fact that I was the inventor of Bop-It sort of commenting on them. And I think I pretended to try to give them a high five and they, of course, didn't because it was a duet. And that sort of showed the potential. I think it did a million views. And it was like, oh, people like seeing me as a person, maybe more than just information or memes about Bop-It, because anyone could do the memes about Bop-It, but I was the only me. So I think that sort of gave us the idea, like I should do more where I'm actually on the screen and be more relatable.
What is the? What is the presence on social done for you and Bop-It and kind of everything moving forward?
Well, it's sort of turned into, there's quite a bit that's happened. I think going from that, the leap of telling stories about how certain things were invented or pretending, or just kind of playing with people, like using the humor of what if a Bop-It had this sound in it, or where I pretend to be inventing something that would Rickroll people, or, you know, like I just had fun. I mean, I come from a very theatrical family, it was natural to me. We do a lot of funny stuff. My parents are both actors. So I grew up sort of joking around a lot with them. And so I think it felt really fun for me to sort of come up with ideas that were kind of silly and not too serious. And that definitely worked. Or talking about flops, as I said, it's interesting for anyone and probably in any field. If you tell people about your failures, it's more inspiring than telling them about your successes, I think, or it's more relatable.
Yeah. Your success gives you credibility and your failures make you human. So I think that's super relatable.
Damn, that's a great line.
Knowing that I was in better, that's good. Did you just come up with that?
Thank you. Yeah.
I've never heard that before, actually.
Oh, really?
That's genius.
Are you looking that up?
Maybe I did.
Did you look that up on Google?
Did I just think of that?
I think that's original.
I'm a genius like you, Dan? What's going on here?
Yeah, you're a genius, man.
I actually have my line, because a lot of people talk about it there. I do actually have sort of something that I try to say, which is really real, which is that your failures are the building blocks for your success. Like every time you fail, you have to think about, I have one more block. I've just literally stuck into my structure that I'm building, because you have to psychologically know that anything you fail at, it's up to you to learn from it. So it's a statement that means if you think this way, your failures will be your building blocks for success, because you'll figure out, you know, look at the Bop-It story. I failed several times, but I kind of kept knowing there was something there and I knew what not to do. I knew who not to talk to. I kind of started to get a feel on who was my audience. You know, it's they're all pretty universal things. So I think that that is really relatable when you talk about why you failed. And if you can figure it out, it becomes a building block.
And that's, yeah, that's that's a story we hear over and over and over again. I mean, that's, you know, mm-hmm. you fail 1,000 times. We've heard it with Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan didn't make his high school or got cut from his high school basketball team. The greatest player to ever play. You know, it's just like the willingness to get back up and try it again. I think people really need to hear and get ingrained into their mind, because it's so easy to just call it quits after a couple of tries.
Yeah.
No, the storytelling aspect of it too, Dan, I think is a really important emphasis of this, is, and how that could relate to the real estate industry, is look at the Glenda Bakers, the Taya DiCarlos. We use them as examples all the time, but they're so successful on social media because they're sitting in front of camera and just telling stories. And not every story is, hey, this is how I sold a $6 million house. It's, this is the craziest thing that happened to me at an inspection or an open house. It's those failures that have created the Broke Agent brand too, because people relate it to that. So you talking about your inventions and your failures and all the trial and error and humanizing your entire process is such a better strategy than superimposing Bop-Its on Tiger King. So it was, you know, a fantastic evolution. And it was really cool to see from the inside too, of just, I remember getting a text out of nowhere being like, this video has, you know, over 100,000 views right now, like the Pittman sisters, you know, like this is, these crazy moments in your digital journey that have happened, that have continued to build this. And something really cool that's going on right now, and that's been going on the last few years, is kind of this rebound of 90s nostalgia. And it seems like celebrities are always, you know, handling a Bop-It, playing with a Bop-It at some point. Like, didn't Machine Gun Kelly just break a Bop-It and then you went viral on top of that? Like, tell us about that.
Do you want me to get, I can bring that down into the, here, you'll get to see me stand up for just a second. You can cut this out.
Yeah. Okay.
This is on my wall of Bop-Its here. I'm going to bring two things down. I'll bring three things down.
He is in his studio for the people just listening to this. Folks. He is. Yeah, you got to watch this on YouTube, everybody. By the way, if you're enjoying this, throw this video a like. We have the inventor of Bop-It on the show right now, and subscribe to the channel.
Yeah, for sure. So a lot of people, first of all, it depends what era you came from. That giant Bop-It in the background there, the big, that's the original from 1997. But there's a lot of people that relate to the, there's the white Bop-It. This one, now, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to do this one more time. I should have been prepared.
He's got an army of Bop-Its behind him.
So this is 2008. This is the one that a lot of people think is the original if they're younger. But so anyway, this is the one that's out there now. And so Machine Gun Kelly had a video. He's done a couple of Bop-It videos, where he obviously loves Bop, but I think he did one with a Minion or a Yoda. Like, there's these people who knew, a lot of people don't know, who had Bop-It as a kid, that I've gone on to create Bop-Its, like this Minion Bop-It in a Bop-It, a voice that's Minion voice, and you twist their head and you bop their eye and you
I thought you were going to say you went on to invent the Minions. I was like, holy shit, you took, took it 30 minutes to say that?
This is actually the bestseller he was talking about, is the Minion.
Yeah,
a way to abuse a Minion. That's what I invented. So legally, that sounds pretty bad.
Yeah, that was good.
So we'll come back to that. The idea of voice, different voices in a Bop-It, because it's actually important to the evolution of this whole story. But the this is a Bop-It that I made for Machine Gun Kelly. I think he knows about it, but hasn't requested it. And it's basically, this is around Christmas last year. There was a video of him breaking a Bop-It on his ass when he was with Megan Fox and their kids. It's like they're dressed in perfect holiday. And he's like in front of he's obviously doing a social media video showing him how good he is at Bop-It. And he breaks it. And when he breaks it, you hear, I think it's her son actually, says, "You broke it? You broke it." And it's just such a funny moment. And so that he did, it's like 20 million views he got on that video. And immediately, in fact, I think it was Sam, Eric, who mm-hmm. sent it to me right away. So again, a relationship, the fact that with Eric and Sam, I had sort of started, you know, this idea of connecting with people that knew more than me about social media. I think maybe that's the lesson here in general, is how it took having some other, you know, expertise. So luckily that connection, somebody called me and said, hey, this video, did you see this? So I didn't, literally within an hour, I went in and responded to it, went into my garage. I wasn't even in my shop. And I found a Bop-It, and I just took anything in my garage that was silver and kind of mechanical looking. And I videoed myself. I basically said, Machine Gun Kelly, it looks like you're in trouble. Don't worry. I'm going to make a Bop-It that not even you can break. And so I just covered it with, like, this is a hose clamp and, you know, stuff from my drawer and zip ties. And I printed out a little label and I showed it in like 15 seconds, super, super fast cuts of me making it. By the way, I didn't have a tripod. I was holding the phone in my teeth while I videoed this. If you see the video, it's pretty funny. I had to rig up a way with my tongue to turn it on and off, just so you might more information than you need, except I want you to appreciate how good the video looks with the lowest tech possible technique. And I just wanted to get it out there just to have something fun. And I put it out as this, you know, I made the MGK Bop-It. So tough, not even Casey's dad can break it. Or I said something like it was an ad. And it did 6 million views like within a few days. And, you know, 100, a million comments or whatever, you know, like it was overwhelming. And it, and of course that got me more followers and more people that are following, showing that it was the idea of responding to someone. You know, not that everyone is going to have a Bop-It that they can have a celebrity play with and respond to, but if there's things, just the idea of the interaction with, you know, finding a way to interact with people and respond to them, is again that connection, more relatable about you. So that I but continue to do stuff sort of like that, and whenever I see a celebrity playing with something, I try to respond to them.
Matt, what kind of things stand the test of time?
Beats me, Eric.
Well, I got a list for you right here. Twinkies, J-Lo, Ben Affleck, diamonds, the right. Beatles.
Well,
you could add your real estate success to that list when you partner with Boomtown, the number one user rated real estate CRM in the game.
Boomtown was built to drive sustainable long-term success, Eric, no matter the market. So if you're ready to put your best foot forward and build a real estate business that can stand the test of time, visit boomtownroi.com/overask. Plus, see how you can score $750 in free digital advertising now. Now that's boomtownroi.com/overask. Yeah.
Yeah, you do a great job.
Go, Eric.
We're on a little delay here, folks. Sorry. You do a fantastic job at responding to your comments and taking a question from your comments and making a video on that. And this is something we always tell real estate agents to do. Also, is like when you're doing an informative video, you're going to get comments asking a certain question. And you could create content out of that by responding directly in app on TikTok or Instagram. So you've been really good at engaging with your fans. Like you're always responding in the comments. I remember, you know, we'd talk on our like consulting calls where, you know, people would get so excited, like, oh my God, the Bop-It inventor is responding to me right now. They made a video about this, or they're just in the comments. And it's that importantness of the social aspect of these platforms that really helped build your brand even more. You weren't just publishing and being like, all right, cool, I'm the Bop-It inventor. You know, people are going to love this. It's like you interacted with all of your fans from such an early phase, and you still do that today, I believe. So that's a really good job on your part that you picked that up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
With my guidance, of course. So not out of nowhere.
Yeah, no, I actually had... you were, and Sam were, so here, there is something interesting about that is that at first I thought I was going to hire these guys and they were going to do that for me. And then I realized that even the videos and things I was saying, oh, we'll just, you guys can make these memes. And, you know, we did a couple, but I realized that I have a very specific voice and a certain quality that maybe you, it doesn't really matter that even you might have been better at some of that. Probably, you know, like you might have even had, maybe there's a lesson both ways. Like you should probably let someone else show you what they would do with your brand once in a while, because they might open up a channel that you can't see. But I think for me, it was realizing I kind of had to do it myself, and I liked doing it. I had spent years not connecting with my whoever might be a Bop It fan. And it was really cool for the 25th birthday to say, hey, I want to connect with people. And it, when they would tell their stories about what they did with Bop It as a kid, I was really excited. You know, imagine what it feels like to know it's estimated there's over 100 million people have played Bop It. You know, because for every one that was sold, there's been about 30 million sold. It's at least that, you know, the number of people that played with the ones there. And it was sort of this, I mean, I feel it kind of in my heart, you know, this overwhelming feeling of, wow, those experiences would never have happened if I hadn't have come up with that crazy remote control that turned into a toy, that turned into this. It's one of those things, you know. So what was crazy for me was finding out that social media, where I'd shied away from it all these years because I was afraid people would inundate me with too much, I found it more manageable than I thought and very gratifying.
That's a cool way to look at it. Because yeah, it really, like the storytelling aspect, I'm a sucker for a great story, and I'll always buy into the story, and I think many others will as well. I will say I've had some great moments with Bop-Its, but I've also broken, you know, I've thrown a Bop-It or two across the room, Dan. I mean, sometimes when you just can't win, you know, I'm very competitive.
It's because the voice is so nice and supportive.
Who is the, whose voice is it? Is it just a random voice?
It is not random. There's been about four main voices of Bop-It, and the original Bop-It, if I had the, I could go through, I'm not prepared to show, I could do the Voices of Bop-It show, which is taking each Bop-It and showing you that there's different voices in each one. The most recent voice is the voice that's in this one.
Solo. I score two. Bop-It. Yeah! You can do this.
That is Buddy Rubino, who is become a great friend and a wonderful voice actor in New York who has done a few other things. Like he did an IKEA ad. He was a voice of like the Bag and Strips dog on a commercial. And he hadn't done that much when he got picked for Bop-It. This is about over 10 years ago, almost 15 years ago, when this new Bop-It came out, we wanted a younger, kind of more energetic voice and interviewed auditioned a lot of actors. And he was picked as sort of with the intention, and this was one of the guys at Hasbro who was behind this, said, we need a voice that we can, that's a young enough guy that he's going to be around and he can be the voice of Bop-It, even though he didn't start out as the voice. If you're interested in all this, only because this is the relatable one. Here, I'm taking all this stuff down.
These things are probably just going off in his studio all day long. Probably.
I got a really good idea. I got a good idea after this, Dan.
So this is the voice of the first Bop-It.
That's the one I threw across the room, Dan.
That scream will drive you insane.
Yeah, that's the OG right there. Teal and purple combo is ingrained in my memory forever.
It's iconic.
That's what it did when you failed. This is a different. So when Bop-It Extreme came along, we wanted it to be, and that was the idea of putting more things as a command, more fail statements in it. Right? There's, instead of it just going, it says something to you, and it's much more of a dialogue.
Beat Bop, solo, Vox Bop. Pull it. Spin it. Out. Nice going. You're out.
Okay, so.
Yeah, a little more humor and a little sarcastic humor in there. I like that.
And so it added comments, and it added this really hard, this was a guy named Scott Parkin, who only did this one Bop-It, but probably more people know this voice from this one because this became like, this was sort of when Bop-It went big.
Yeah.
You know, it was this whole.
Beat Bop, Vox Bop, solo.
I think that's the one I used. I think this is the one I use.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now.
Hey, you win.
Okay, he just starts playing for the rest of the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I wanted you to hear it because I'm going to show you what I'm doing now. But the nostalgia of those sounds.
Yeah.
Again, don't know where we want to go back to. You know, that evolved to this. So those are three different voices. There's actually a few others in some of the other Bopits. So when I sort of wanted to say, what do you do to celebrate 25 years? Just like you were saying, there's this teal. So watch this trick, right? Looks like a Bopit Extreme, but wait a minute. It's just the button. So this is the Bopit button. It's literally the center of a Bopit removed. And I had this idea of doing a teal and, you know, this cool nostalgic button for the 25th birthday. It was actually going to go on the front of a book. And then the book got kind of delayed, and it was the idea of just having a real Bopit on the front of a book, and it was going to say, take this book and Bopit, or How to Think Like a Toy Inventor. And it was going to be this cool book about the history of Bopit and some of my insights. And as I started playing with the button, I thought all it'll do is just say Bopit. It'll just do this.
Bopit. Ow! I literally told you what to do.
Okay, so that... You just heard three different Bopits combined. It was the word Bopit, the beat from a Extreme, and then the scream from an OG. And that, like, the idea is it mixes and mashes 25 years of Bopit sounds into this button. But that's all it was going to do. You sit it on your desk, you know, like the easy button. So you're going to sit on your desk, and if you loved Bopit as a kid, you were just going to have it there so you could just, like, and you'd get one of these sarcastic phrases, and that's it. It says to bop it, so you bop it. Then I said, oh, maybe you could keep bopping it, and it would give you a score, and you could go on forever. But then I just realized that it's a little, well, then someone would just set up like a machine, and it would just, you know.
An automated sort of hand. Thinking.
So I said, you'd just win. I mean, it could be. Who can do it? I thought it was funny. Who can bop this thing like the longest? And that's all it is. And then I said, but when I first invented Bopit, there was actually something that I had that never got used. It was the don't Bopit command. There was actually, it originally used to say, don't Bopit, don't twist it, don't pull it. And it's in the, if you look in the contract, it's actually in the initial contract that the invention, the patent has it. So I never used it because we didn't need it. It was too much going on. So when I thought, well, it's just one button. What if after 25 years, we have it say, don't bop it and bop it. So you'll hear it if I do it a few times.
Bop it, 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 don't bop it.
What?
I literally told you what to do. Don't
bop
it. Score 8.
So it tells
Imagine just coming to this episode right now and starting to listen right at that moment, and you just hear the bop it going off.
It's an audio based. It's good for podcasts. It's all audio. So what you're hearing scream. Is the scream. Yeah, all this stuff. So you see the idea is this teal and, like you were saying, Matt, this teal and black. Thing that's so iconic that, and that's all. I mean, you know, put it on your desk and you can just bop it. But I went down this kind of rabbit hole of invention, which was, I really want to give people something who were fans for 25 years that they didn't experience before in a bop it. I want to do something new. I don't just want to do like another version of the, even the characters I've done are still, they're still bop it, just to pull it. So I was experimenting with this idea. And what it opened up was this whole kind of concept of voice, of people's, of what Bopit's done for voice, or just the idea of personality of different voices. So if you also heard, there's several different ways of saying Bopit. And I started to then put in other people's voices into this. And so as you break through, the whole concept of this Bopit button is it's actually harder. It kind of plays Bopit with your brain instead of your hands. It bop it, don't bop it. And then it'll go to do not bop it, do bop it, do not bop it. Like it's got, it's this concept of literally bopping, you know, making your brain. So you have to focus. And the idea is you have to focus for 1 hour to beat it. And on the way, you'll go through 25 levels, one for each year of 100 bops each. And as you do, you'll keep unlocking the past. So if you love Bop It in the past, you're going to kind of at some point hear some of the sounds and phrases that you had. And it's actually when you get to 2500, you'll get a special message from me. Basically, I won't tell you what it is since you have to bop it for an hour to hear it.
It just tells you to go fuck yourself just after
a little after bit.
An hour of slamming this thing on the desk.
If you get there, it will give you a worthy statement, and then it invites you to keep going if you like. It'll actually go as high as you want. So it's really just, you know, what else do you do? For the 25th birthday, I wanted to do something weird and different and reminiscent. And even if you just buy it and put it on your desk, it's cool. But it's been a long project, much more. And Eric, if you want to tie it in, this is where I started. This feels like one of those things like what I ordered and what I got, you know, those memes where people say what I ordered. This was the Boptopus.
Yeah, this thing is crazy. Again, if you're watching this on audio or listening to this on audio, you have to switch to YouTube right now and see this Boptopus yeah, thing. It looks like that Stranger Things.
On the screen, folks.
Yeah, there's literally an octopus.
This is the prototype of what this I want to do. Crazy. I'm going to Kickstarter for the Bop It button. And if it's successful, then my next project is the Boptopus, which is this craziest Bop It you've ever seen.
What is that thing with the two holes in that? What do you like poke its eyes or something? What do you do with that?
It
thing?
Is.
You stick
this
here.
Is like the three stages. You basically, here, I'll do it from this view. Whoop, 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 whoop. You know, it's the,
that's
whole,
what you do.
The whole poke with,
yeah, cool.
Poke with two fingers. God. You gotta poke. This is a pinch it.
There's so much.
This one here.
I'm definitely buying this one, like 100%.
Wait, what is that thing? Rub it?
Oh, rub it.
What do you call this?
Pet it.
Stroke it?
Pet it? I'm going to say stroke it.
Definitely don't say stroke it.
I think pet it.
Pet it. That's it's you know, one of the things about Bop It is you want everything to have a different vowel sound if possible so you can hear the difference. So pull it is an twist it is an eh. Poke it is an O. So it would, if it's, you would pick it if you wouldn't say stroke it and poke it because, well, there's a lot of reasons you would
say that. Yeah. But, maybe with the original Bop It, but not this thing. Yeah.
Stroke it. Pull it.
You know,
stroke
but,
it.
But if you think,
finish it.
Just, you think you're the first and person to ever think of sexual innuendos for Bop It, you should do some Googling first.
I know. Trust me. When we first started this project, what do you think I was doing? That was all I could think about.
But here's the thing, Dan. I got an idea. All right, I know what you guys are saying. All the audacity to give the inventor a Bop It an idea. But here's the idea. Okay, you're celebrity Bop It. Think of this: Samuel L. Jackson, Bop It, motherfucker.
Yeah, your idea is not only a great one, it's been what I've been saying to do with the Bop It button. That is the goal of the Bop It button. And Samuel L. Jackson is literally the example I've used for the last 6 months. So
are you serious?
You are right on. Yes.
Dan, we're on the same page here.
You could have been on Tom Dan.
Maybe it's not too late though. Okay.
Yeah, it's not too late. And I could be a real estate agent or whatever. Wait,
it's not.
You have the social media presence.
Yeah. But here, Dan, if you ever need a real estate niche Bop It, I can be your voice. I think I have a good voice for it.
Yeah. Well, I don't need it, but you need it.
Yeah. Well,
I don't,
we really
need it.
We need a real estate Bop It. Dan, what would we put on a real estate Bop It?
Yeah, close it. Sell it.
What if Bop It was a real estate agent? Yeah, there you go. So is Bop It telling you what to do as a real estate agent, or is Bop It the real estate agent? And it's who is Bop It in this?
It could go both ways. Bop It could be the real estate agent where you're flicking or you're turning it like the key, you're unlocking it like a lockbox. Maybe you're signing it like a contract. Maybe you're pressing a button. What other things
Eric
could it do?
Cheating. because we actually did a
why are you giving this away? Why can't you act like I'm just coming up with these on the spot, for God's sake?
See, and the thing is I came up with mine. Put the octopus down. The Samuel Jackson idea? That was a fresh idea from me. That was a fresh idea.
You probably didn't look it up in my social media at all. No, actually, I don't know if I've used Samuel Jackson in that.
Yeah.
It's in a proprietary keynote pitch, and somehow you must have hacked it.
How am I supposed to see that?
That's the type of research we do on this podcast.
Honestly, I've learned that when people come up with the same idea as you, it's a really, really good. It means it really means you're tuned into something that you want other people to be coming up with the same idea at the same time. It means it's a very natural idea. And that is literally the voice I use as an example when I pitch. You know, what I was saying about this, when I said, what did we do with Minions and with Yoda and with Chewbacca? There's all these Boppets that use the voice of those characters. So, and in fact, in the Star Wars one, it actually uses Anthony Daniels before he died. I am not going to say it was the last thing he did before he died, but I can say before he died, he voiced the R2-D2 Boppet. And so that's his voice saying Boppet, pull it, twist it in the R2-D2 Boppet, the actual voice of C-3PO.
C-3PO, you said R2-D2. I was going to say, it's just beeping.
Sorry, no. It is, sorry, it's R2-D2 is the Boppet, but
C-3PO is commanding.
C-3PO gives the command. That's this one back. It's actually in this too. We did it in BB-8 also, so.
Boppet to start.
That's Anthony Daniel.
Hi, score 3.
You know what? Dan, another good one would be Conor McGregor.
Oh, he'd be great.
That'd be odd. Well, so what you're on to, you've given me, so I'm trying to give you the segue to what the Boppet button is actually about. So Boppet button is this project where if you listen to it, here, I'm going to do one thing. I'm going to unlock this one.
Boppet!
I didn't do it. Let me try and show you. There's a special unlock.
White, loud, blasting.
Okay.
Folks, he's jailbreaking his Boppet right now. His Boppet button.
Okay, listen to this.
Boppet.
Listen
to
these voices.
Boppet. Boppet. Do. Boppet. Boppet. Do. Boppet. 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 Do. Boppet. Do. Boppet. Boppet. Do. Boppet. Do. Boppet. Do. Boppet. Do. Boppet. Do.
So, did you hear all those voices?
Yes.
All the different voices? One of them was mine. One was my dad's. One was the original voice of Boppet. One was a hip-hop artist that did a song about Boppet that I honored. I met a lot of people in the last year on TikTok, and I auditioned people and picked 6 people to be in the Boppet button. And part of this was not picking famous people, because it's too much of a pain to try. Everyone says, oh, you should go get Samuel Jackson. Not everyone, but Matt did.
Yeah.
And of course, that's not an easy thing to do, because they want to charge you a lot of money to do that. So I came up with the idea that, so we've been trying to do, characters, celebrity voices, all this stuff. And the idea was, by doing the Boppet button, there's 20 different ways of saying Boppet in it. And I was really experimenting to say, will it work to have all these different voices? And you could hear it really works. It's fun. It's very, very engaging. So if this succeeds, this Kickstarter with the Boppet button, the next step is the whole idea was Boppet for Good. It's something that my wife and I have started, where we're going to go, we're reaching out to celebrities and saying, how about we flip it around? Samuel L. Jackson, if you have a cause, or Snoop Dogg, or this, or someone with a lot of, whose voice is iconic with a lot of followers, do you have a cause you're passionate about? Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to donate my time to work with you for your cause. I'm not going to ask you to donate your time to work with me on my cause, because they're always asked to do that. And all I really care about is I want BOPIT to do more good. So my point is, what I can do the most good with BOPIT if I collaborate with a famous person who has a voice that millions of people want to hear in a BOPIT. But I'll say, so pick, if you have a cause, you want to work for the Ukrainian Children's Fund, or you want to do like animal rights, whatever you're passionate about, if I like your cause, I'll work with you and help you create a BOPIT for good with your voice that people will love, and we can raise money with it. So that what you hit on was this idea that why this exists, and the more the better. It can be the entire Dodgers team or something. I mean, I'm a Giants fan. I don't know why I said that. Maybe because I'd like to bop them. But you know, the idea that I really think there's potential, the fact that you come up with the idea of how do you take something iconic with voice and turn it into good. And that's what the BOPIT button is all about. It's about having a thing with their, and then it would have their logo and all this stuff on it. So that's what we're hoping to do. And maybe the way to relate that back to this podcast in some way is that I feel there's sort of something in whatever you're doing to keep your mind thinking like, is there something I'm doing that could actually be good, that do some good? Like, even if it's not as grand as that, I like the idea that I really was just saying, well, what can I use that I already have at my disposal that would help people the most? And so that was my decision. And I'm kind of on this kick to say to people, you know, I think it's hard to just say donate to a cause and give money to it. I think it's really often not that effective. And yet many people out there probably have something they're doing, whether with real estate, you know, somewhere where they can collaborate with someone and maybe do more good than just asking for money. And so the idea is that that's really where we're going with BOPIT in the future, is to try to find celebrities who were probably passionate as a kid, who loved BOPIT, and now they're older and they've got all these followers, and say, what can we do with your voice to do the most good?
Matt, so I'm thinking the agency does a BOPIT. Mauricio voices it, Santiago voices it, all these, you know, basically real estate celebrities with their brokerage, and then everybody at the brokerage could have a little agency BOPIT button on, and then, you know, give to like Give Back Homes or something like that. That could be a good idea.
Yeah. So that's basically it. So with the real estate BOPIT, I'm saying if you can come up with high enough celebrity voices, like a lot of, I don't want to do things that are just like a company that has 1,000 employees and they give them, that's not what this is for. This is like, there's only going to be 5 of them maybe available that I'll work. I have to donate my time to do it, to get it done. And I want to pick big enough, you know, but find, the real estate is huge, right? Find people who believe in a cause and let's put one together, and I'll do the broke BOPIT or whatever we're going to call it.
Love it.
I'm down.
So that's the idea. And yeah.
We got a...
Go ahead, Matt.
We know a lot of people in the space, Dan. We can hook it up. The Matt BOPIT, yeah. Maybe? Who knows? There's a niche select few might want that.
The Leonetti BOPIT?
Yeah.
It just says fuck it every 5 seconds?
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
Well, no, the reason I was outing Eric on the BOPTopus, on the real estate BOPIT, is if you look up one of our first memes, was I did a 8-armed real estate BOPIT that did have a lockbox on it, and it had a for sale sign, and it had I think it had some like vodka.
That's, of course, it had some alcohol. It had some keys on it. Might have had a notepad for taking.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It was kind of like all the relatable things. So, you know, I that was my thought, is we'd be happy to make, if there was a great cause that we could come up with and you had enough people that wanted to support it, I will do a real estate BOPIT for good. But we have to, you know, we can brainstorm with your audience on what would that be.
Hey, if you're interested in the real estate BOPIT for good and you want to see a real estate industry BOPIT name made, comment BOPIT for good on YouTube right now, and then we'll kind of, you know, dwell up interest from that and see how it goes. And then comment what you want on the real estate BOPIT. Do you want booze on it? Do you want a lockbox? What else, Matt, would be good on this?
Do you want car, want it in my voice, drive it. Maybe in my voice?
Do you want it in Matt's voice?
The first step is, honestly, that's, in a way, I do another silly drawing of something. I'll design something fun, but The real thing is, if you go to bopitbutton.com and you check out this Bop It button, we're doing custom stickers for the top for different groups. So part of this is, this one just says 25th anniversary, but the surface is flat, so you can actually get a different sticker. So it's for certain things, like, you know, the game Joking Hazard. Have you ever played that?
No.
It's almost like Cards Against Humanity. It's by the, there's a cartoonist called Cyanide and Happiness. It's pretty funny.
Oh, anyway, I love that cartoon. Doing special.
Yeah. It's a special.
It's animated too. They have really funny videos.
Right. So the creator of that is a big Bop It fan, and we're going to be doing a special Cyanide and Happiness sticker, a special label you can get for your Bop It if you're a Cyanide and Happiness fan and you sign up for the Kickstarter early enough. So that's kind of what we're using the button as a way to get to test out, you know, are there fan groups that want to customize something? And eventually those turn into the good causes. But I would say to your followers, if they sign up and do it, if you're on the early sign up, we're trying to get people to pre-commit or to just sign up for the notify me on the Kickstarter on bopitbutton.com. If you're on the early notification, we'll then offer like a special labels to those people. So if we design a real estate Bop It with you guys, what would it be called? Over-ask, the over-ask Bop It.
It might have to be under-ask now.
It doesn't have the same ring to it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Under-ask. Or the sold, it could be a Bop It with a for sale sign on it. I know, like, if you want, we can collaborate on a custom label, and if you sign up early, you'll be able to get one of the custom labels, and you can say, "I want the real estate."
The sold whatever, it Bop It
label.
Yeah, sold it. Sold it is it. That's right, Matt. That's perfect. Yeah.
Sold it. Bop It.
Full of ideas today. So, and this is at bopitbutton.com. We'll have a link in the description as well. You could go to Dan's Instagram, TikTok, bopitbutton.com. And then, Dan, we also want to do a little giveaway, right? You want to give away a mini Bop It to one of the listeners?
Yes. My actual, in case you didn't know, since you helped me start it, it's Bop It Inventor is the TikTok and Instagram.
Yes.
But yeah, bopitbutton.com is where you can get the Bop It button, sign up for the Kickstarter. But
so how about this? Comment mini Bop It on YouTube right now to win a chance. We will send you a mini Bop It. Dan, if you want to hold one of those little fellas up. There it is.
We're going to give a few of these away. So these are really cool 25th anniversary mini Bop Its with a... here with the stand.
I love that.
You put it on your shelf. This is really good. And it works. This totally, totally works.
I was going to say, I'd put that on my keychain for when I'm bored. I'll just do it in my car and shit when I'm waiting to get into a house.
Can you imagine just sitting there at an open house, Matt, and then people are walking in and you're just flicking this little Bop It?
I love it.
It's extremely loud for us. It really totally works. But it's really cool is that it's got this little stand, so it kind of just looks cool. I'm into things looking good on your table, not just being thrown into a whatever. But I'd say that if you sign up for the kick, it's important if you want to sign up for the Kickstarter to get the Bop It button made. I could use all the. I really want to get this off the ground because if it goes well, then I can do the celebrity ones and we can do all that. And if we want to do a special real estate label, we'll do that if you sign up early. So sign up at bopitbutton.com. And then we're also giving away a lot of these mini Bop Its to people who sign up early as well. So if you want one of these mini Bop Its, just give us a sign that you're there and you will get on.
Yeah.
We're going to be giving away as many of these as we can. So you might get lucky on that.
Yeah.
So anything else? Besides selling stuff,
Dan, no, honestly, Bop It. I was telling Eric before, I had two favorite games growing up. Okay. It was Bop It and Guess Who. All right. So you're in my top two favorite. My wife, we've done 90 episodes here, Dan. She hasn't watched one and she said she's going to watch this one. She is a giant fan. So she's a kindergarten teacher.
And anytime you bring up Bop It to anyone.
Yeah. I know. Anytime you bring up Bop It. And I hope you know that, Dan. I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do know that. You've brought so much joy into this world. You really have from this toy. I mean, and you alluded to that before. So thank you so much for coming on. It was truly an honor to actually, you know, put a face to the Bop-It. I mean, it's pretty cool. It was pretty cool. I was excited all week for this, or whenever I found out we were going to do this. But before we go, Dan, I just need to know what outsold the Bop-It?
Well, what has outsold the Bop-It is something that most people have seen or had. It's this sand claw. This is the first product I ever designed, and many people who see this will recognize it because it's sold millions and millions of these. The thing is, it got knocked off. The reason it sold so many is because as my first invention, and this is a story I've posted a few times. In fact, I just posted it about a few weeks ago and it went quite viral. It's just the concept of coming up with something, but I didn't know how to protect it correctly. So I came up with this. I sold it to a company. It was a new way to dig in the sand, this one piece thing, very much like industrial design, cool looking thing. And it did pretty well. And then it started to get knocked off and I didn't have the right patent protection on it. So it got knocked off in so many places that the estimate is that it's sold, you know, millions and millions of these all over the world because there's no protection. I don't actually mind that at all. I kind of feel in a way more validated that I could come up with something that 30 years later is still being made and used and enjoyed. And it actually makes me feel really, really good. Luckily I've had other successes, and maybe if it was the only thing I ever came up with and I'd be very bitter, but I'm fortunate. But you know, I think it's just sort of that concept that you really, this whole, anything you're trying to sell, you're trying to make sure you know what a good product is when you see it, what a good house is when you see it, what a good message is when you say it, how to communicate with people, and you need validation. So I don't mind that one of my first things ever, I got a lot of it right, and then I had to learn how to get the rest of it right. But it validated me, and if without it, I may never have come up with a Bop-It, because I needed the encouragement that I could come up with things that the market needed. So I mean that sincerely, is I couldn't feel better about this being something that, it's like shareware. And every time I see one on a beach, I'm like, yeah, I started that, you know? So that's the product. And it's because it became shareware is why it's outsold the Bop-It.
Amazing. Well, I'm glad that you shared it, because I feel like we'd get a bunch of people afterwards being like, why didn't you ask him what outsold the Bop-It?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's tough, but it's just because it's also, you know, pretty inexpensive. Yeah. And so people buy them in millions. But I've had many other, you know, hits. Perplexus is one that a lot of people have had, the sphere with the maze inside. And I've done quite a few other games. But I just like to say before we get off, just again, this is really why I'm here, is partly because you guys are so cool that how could I not? But no, mainly it's because the connection that Eric really helped me a lot to even, you know, as I've said, get into this idea, and it's changed my ability to now market directly to people, which I think I never would have seen coming. And so it's a cool closing the circle a little bit for me.
It really is. It's just such a cool evolution, just from the initial phone calls of what do we do with the Bop-It brand? How do we make this thing physical to digital, to now you blowing up on social media more than the Broke Agent brand? I mean, you have, again, videos with millions and millions of views, and just the digital TikTok following. View. What's that?
Yeah, TikTok views are like, not, they're not. I'm actually trying to go back now to Instagram and get, because there's a lot more of the older,
Eric, crowd. You unfortunately also didn't invent one of the greatest games of all time, so you know there's that.
That is true, very true. Yeah. But yeah, you take a physical product, digital, and we're taking a digital. What's that?
Matt already came up with an idea just in the last few minutes that I said was one of the best ideas ever. And what have you done?
Nothing, apparently, I guess. Yeah, I should just bury my head in the sand with one of your little sand crawl shovels that you invented.
To be honest, I think I need to reconsider my entire career. I think I'm in the wrong career. I feel like we got to brainstorm after this.
We're toy inventors now. The broke inventor.
Jackson right now and tell him you thought of this idea all on your own, and then you guys show up at my house and we'll do the deal.
Love it. I'm into it. Dan, thank you so all much right. for being on. We really appreciate it.
The Broke Agent presents Over Ask Podcast.